Thanks for coming back, ladies and gentlemen. And today I have just one of the most special guests we could have. This is a guy that I've been really close to since the last decade. And again, buddies, business partners, and associates, Sean Croxton. He's a podcast host, author, entrepreneur, and prosperity teacher. You probably know him as the host of the Underground Wellness Radio. That's one of the internet's most popular health podcasts ever. I believe I was his first guest on that. And during his 7 years with Underground Wellness, he penned the still popular Dark Side of Fat Loss ebook. He also started the JERF, Just Eat Real Food movement, which is amazing. He hosted 7 online summit events, including the thyroid sessions, digestion sessions, and the depression sessions, which were phenomenally successful. Matter of fact, I think Sean wrote the book on having these kind of summits that we're having right now. And after ending the UW podcast in 2015, he decided to move on from holistic health to something that's maybe even more dear to his heart. He's going to tell us all about that. And that is how to create a new movement. He created this new movement in the world of personal development and the science of mind. I've always known him to be a big nerd. And so now he's the host of, and this is something I subscribe to, I get every day. It's the Quote of the Day show. That is now the number one daily motivational podcast, featuring short inspirational teachings from the best of the best speakers. Sean, I love that one from Les Brown the other day. I've become a big follower of his. He's also got a book club that goes along with that. He's also the creator of the Money Mind Academy. Now, that's the program, along with a couple others that we brought him on to talk about. That's an 8-week course that will completely change your relationship with money. We all know health coaches tend to think that they undervalue themselves, in my mind, having trained them since 2008. So we're going to talk a lot about money mind and how health coaches can start to realize how much money they're actually worth. His personal philosophy is, little by little, a little becomes a lot. He loves to read books, hit the gym, meditate, watch basketball. I've actually played basketball with him. And eat real food. All in all, he is, like I said, just one big nerd at heart. And Sean, big hugs and love to you, man. I'm so glad to have you on this podcast and summit interview. Man,
thank you, Mr. Lee. I appreciate it.
Yeah, say hello to the group. You probably have, I don't know, 20,000 health coaches or wannabe health coaches listening. So say hi and tell us more about yourself. How you got
from What's up, my friends? Gosh, I think you pretty much covered it all. You know, I've been in the health and wellness space, or I was in the health and wellness space starting back in 2007, doing YouTube videos, creating podcasts, kind of one of the first people to be doing podcasts in this space and doing YouTube in this space. Just saw the opportunity, saw the ability for us to go out there and get a message out there to the people for free, you know, through YouTube and podcasting. And again, you know, like you said, created those summits. At some point decided I had to roll out of there. This wasn't as fun as I thought it was, or as it used to be, I should say. Doing personal development now, love it. You know, that's one thing that I found as a health coach, was that beneath all of these you know, functional medicine things and all these pillars and these systems is the mind. You know, everything begins with the mind. And one thing I noticed was that the clients that I worked with who got the results the fastest were the ones who had the best attitudes. You know, the ones who were just kind of like, woe is me, and, you know, the world's against me, with the victim mentality, were the ones who just didn't get much better. And, you know, one thing I really didn't want to be, even when I was a personal trainer, was I didn't want to be a therapist. Like, I don't really care about the mind part of it. I just wanted to do the physical stuff. And I just realized at some point that you cannot separate the two. They are just one and the same. And so I just kind of went down this rabbit hole of learning how the mind works, how the subconscious mind works, and kind of got myself here 5 years later after moving off from Underground Wellness, and I'm really glad that I did.
Yeah, I know. You know, we've been in touch constantly, but you were a personal trainer. You came out of college and were training people, and then you became a health coach, and you did that for a while. So I want to be really honest with the listeners, because some are health coaches already. This summit, we're having a lot of people who are training health coaches. Some are doing the spiritual aspects. Some are talking more about just weight loss. Some are talking more about certifications that include a wide range of specialties, things like that. And this area that you're in, I really think that you you nailed it when you switched, but you spent 7 years doing the underground program. You've interviewed every person in the health space. Was there anything common among, if you go back to the underground wellness days and all those hundreds of people you interviewed, that was common enough that we should all be aware of it, even if you end up specializing in something else? What was the most common thing you found in the sort of alternative health space? All those people's books.
That it really, not only does it begin with the mind, but in speaking with people, it was to eat real food, you know, and that was my thing, you know, JERF, just eat real food, because if we can all agree on one thing, it's eat real food. Don't eat the processed packaged stuff, you know, the science experiments that Big Pharma puts together for you. Just eat real food. Try to make it organic, wild, free range, biodynamic if you possibly can. But, you know, eat real food, reduce stress is what I think is like the common denominator amongst all the people that I interviewed.
Yeah, and they came from all walks of life and things. And one of my gurus now is this guy. His name is Sadhguru. You know, he's from India, like a real guru guy. And I listen to his podcast almost every day. And he talks about food a lot. He says, you're made of food. Like, you're made of food. How'd you get from this big to as big as you are now? Well, you put food in there and cells grow and change and you develop and things like that. So that was an amazing thing. What I love about you, Sean, is you're a thinking man. You don't seem like a nerd, but you got nerdy habits, you know, like you just love to read. And you know what I mean? Like, you're no nerd, man. You know,
I'm a nerd. I like being a nerd, man. I love reading stuff. I love watching programs that are educational. And most of all, I love sharing what I learned with other people, because, you know, why keep the information to myself? And that's why I'm so happy that we have all these different platforms these days, whether it's social media or YouTube or podcasting or blogging, just the internet in general. Like, these days, if you have a message, if you want to help people, there's really no excuse for not doing it. Like, everything's there. It's never been this easy in the history of the world. And so let's go do it. Let's help people.
So did becoming a health coach and having some success in that area and the things you realized, then you became like this super, I mean, I've watched a lot of the people I know go from health coach to other things. And it's a great launching point. I just want you to tell us, do you think that if you hadn't been a health coach and done that podcast for a while, you'd be doing what you're doing now?
Oh, that's a really good question. Probably not. But then again, maybe so. I mean, it's really hard to say. I will say that I've been reading personal development books for a long time. Even in the beginning, when I was learning about health and wellness, I was interested in personal development, whether it been, you know, reading Think and Grow Rich or the Tony Robbins books and whatnot. And so I'm not sure if I would have turned personal development into a career, but I certainly would have been a huge fan of it. It would have played a role in my life. One of the reasons I do what I do on the internet is because I learned how to do it through underground wellness. You know, so where everybody was like, man, you're crazy. And even underground wellness, like, it's, you know, it's a huge business and there's such and such hundreds of thousands of people on the email list and you're making millions of dollars. Like, why move on from this? And it was just because I had the confidence that I could do it again. You know, I know all the principles. I know how to go out there and help people. I know how to use the internet. I know how to put a message out there. So let's just do it with a different topic. And so underground wellness was certainly the jumping off point for what I'm doing in the personal development space.
Yeah, I see it as a growth and development thing. I mean, they're not like you went off to become a, you know, rocket scientist. I mean, I'm sure you could be a rocket scientist too, but it's still about people. It's still about helping people. It's about having them reach their max. One was more on the physical level, and now you've gone in more to the mental level. And we've had speakers on this summit that more just strictly about the spiritual level. And I know meditation is one of your regular habits. We've talked about that before. So these things that you do the most, reading books, hitting the gym, meditating, watching and playing a basketball thing, how does that fit into your general philosophy of little by little becomes a lot? Just tell us more about Sean. I want to get into your head a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, like Jim Rohn says, everybody needs a personal philosophy. And, you know, it's almost like this story that Will Smith told about when he was a kid, and you know, his father would be like, you know, I want you and your brother to build a brick wall. But you know, you don't look at it that way. You don't go out there and you say, I'm gonna build the biggest, baddest wall that's ever been built. You know, what you do is you say, I'm gonna lay this brick as perfectly as it can be laid. And soon you have a wall, right? And that's how I feel like I've always thought about it that way for as long as I can remember. I remember being in high school and college saying, okay, this test is 3 weeks away. If I spend 2 hours tonight studying, going over my notes, rereading the chapters, and I do it again tomorrow, and I do it again tomorrow, and I do it again tomorrow, by the time this test comes, I'm going to crush this test. And I was the one, you know, where the teacher would hand out the test, and if it was multiple choice, I would be done in like 6 minutes and hand it in. The teacher would be like, you got to go to the bathroom or something? I'd be like, no, I'm done with your test. Because it's just brick by brick by brick. And I think that's the difference between successful people and people who aren't so successful. The people who aren't so successful, they want the wall today. You know, they want to just throw up a wall and be like, I'm done with the wall. Yay, we got a wall. That's not how it works. It's not how it works. You got to do it one step at a time. I like to flash myself forward. Like even when I got out of Underground Wellness and I was like, I'm going to build this brand new thing. I said, I'm not going to be able to build this brand new thing in personal development overnight. This is going to take some years. It's going to take some time. It's going to take book by book by book by book by book. There's 1,000 books in my house at least.
Yeah.
I've read hundreds of books over the last 5 years. And it's one book leads to the next book leads to the next book. And the next thing you know, Reed, is like you have become one of the world's greatest experts on a topic. And that's really a choice that you have, or you can choose not to do it. I don't think there's anybody in the world right now who teaches money mindset as well as I do, because I'm obsessed with it, right? Where like, if someone's gonna start today and try to be as good as I am teaching money mindset, they got a lot of catching up to do. And there's not that many people who are gonna be as obsessive about it as I am. This is something I spend hours a day doing and getting better and better and better and better at it. And I think as health coaches, we need to understand the same thing. I remember, because when I took your course, Reed, it was a weekend workshop. So it might've been recorded. I'm not sure if it was, but I just remember going, man, I was probably hungover that weekend. I did this course live in San Diego. I'm laying on the couch. I learned some stuff, but do I feel like I know enough to work with people's hormones? I don't know. I don't know if I remember enough from that weekend. And I remember like going to Amazon one night and buying a stack of books on hormones and say, I'm going to go through every single book one at a time. And then I'll probably reread them once I'm done.
Yeah.
And that's how you become an expert at something. Most people are not willing to do that. They would rather sit on their couches and watch Netflix and complain about their lives than actually sit there and do something about it. And that, as a health coach, is what you have to be willing to do. Go through the course, but also spend your own time doing your own research, doing your own reading, and little by little by little by little, becoming the expert in your field. Not an expert in your field, but the expert in your chosen field.
Oh man, I couldn't agree with you more. And I remember those days. Not only did you go and buy some books, but you made a lot of phone calls to me going, but what about this? And what about that? And I remember, man, of everyone that was in that very first FDA course ever, and it was a weekend workshop at the time. Now it's, you know, an 8-month course. It's very robust and big. And but yeah, I totally remember Sean, you know, from San Diego. He's like, you were relentless.
I wanted to understand, you know, I wanted to understand, because as you read more and you learn more, you have more and more questions, because you never know it all. Yeah. And as you learn more, you start to realize that even though I'm learning more, I'm starting to realize that I really know nothing. And so if things don't jibe, I've got to resolve it. If not, I end up in this conflict and I'm not sure what to do. There's inertia. There's not a lot of action. So of course I became your problem child, as you would say, just asking questions, but at the same time, like learning, but being willing to take actions. I mean, going back to Will Smith, The Pursuit of Happiness, he's traveling around town with a bone density scanner, right? What was I doing for you? Right. Yeah. So everybody who's listening, Reed Davis had a bone density scanning business in San Diego. He would go to the different local health food stores. I took that over because I needed clients. And so I would drive around my little Mazda 3 with a little tiny trunk where the bone density machine just barely fit in that thing.
Yeah, I remember.
Barely. It was so hard to get out. But twice a week or whatever it was, I would pack it in the car and I would drive all over San Diego doing bone density testing, helping these women, telling them more about functional diagnostic nutrition, trying to sign them up for consultations. Like, I went out there and I hustled.
Yeah.
Because there was a vision as to what I wanted to create through functional diagnostic nutrition. Mm-hmm. When I first heard about functional diagnostic nutrition from Francesca, I was like, oh man, that's an opportunity. Because this is going to be able to separate me from all the other personal trainers and health coaches out there. I'm going to be able to run tests, run labs on people, and nobody else can do that. So I had a vision, but I needed clients. You know, and I was doing the internet thing, but I was able to team up with you and get to know you better and to get out there and hustle. And it led to a very successful business. That's what I wish more health coaches were willing to do, to go out there and help people and get dirty.
Well, we got to get more people, you know, like that, Sean. And this is about you, but that was a very exciting time for me too, because you were a great learner and you took all of that, did well with it. And then, you know, found your place, and you far exceeded me, you know, in many ways, you know, so I'm really, really proud of you, man. But that was your drive. You're the only one that would work that hard, because it was hard work, you know, and it's hard to find someone that just will do things because they don't know they can't do them. You know, there's some kind of expression around, I did all that because I didn't know you can't do it. You know, like, you wouldn't know
what. Yeah, I mean. What does it all begin with, Reed? I mean, even Napoleon Hill said, it all begins with desire. You have to have a desire. I had a desire to have a successful health coaching practice. Yeah. I didn't just have a desire to have a health coaching certification. Right. A lot of people be like, I just want a health coaching certification. Like, well, that's good. Like, you can get your health coaching certification, but the next thing is you have to create a business out of it. Yeah. And you're going to have to be willing to do some business things. Mm-hmm. You know, you're going to have to be willing to get in front of the people. You have to market. You're going to have to sell. You're going to have to talk to people. Like, 75% of health coaching is stuff you didn't even learn your certification. You know, it's the sales, the marketing, the speaking, the connecting. It's the hustle. It's the grind as you build up your business. But a lot of people, a lot of coaches don't want to look at that. They just want to read books about health, and somehow, some way, magically, all of this business is going to show up. But if you don't have the desire for the business, if you just have a desire for more knowledge in the health game, well, you're just going to be really smart. But what else you're going to be? You're not going to be helping anybody. You're going to be able to help, you know, maybe your family and your kids. You're going to be able to help yourself. But damn, you just spent 10,000 hours reading stuff that no one's ever going to know about because it's all stuck in your head. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We have to get serious about the marketing and the sales side. I had a guy interview me recently, and it was so funny because I remembered him too. And he interviewed me for his podcast. He's a naturopathic doctor now. And he's like, he wrote me. He's like, hey, do you remember me? I met you at Paleo Effects, and I asked you for some advice. It's real quick advice. And I told him, this is what I said to him. I said, don't be a broke-ass naturopathic doctor. Learn sales, learn marketing. And he took that to heart, and now he's got a successful business, right? And so I want more health coaches to be successful. I think the average health coach makes $46,000 a year. Like, we can do way better, because I could throw a rock outside my window and I could hit somebody who has a health condition, but they don't know about you.
Yeah. No, that's, I didn't know that statistic, but I recently studied chiropractic for a research I was doing. I went to Forbes, and they said the average chiropractor comes out of chiropractic school, $150,000 in debt. They haven't bought any chiropractic equipment. They haven't rented a space. They haven't hired any staff. They don't have any customers. And they're already $150,000 in debt. And the average salary for chiropractor in the U.S. is $85,000. Now, our graduates are all, you know, encouraged and trained that if they're not making $100,000, they're doing something wrong. They're doing something wrong if they aren't making, and in some states, chiropractors are making $50,000 or less a year, like Wyoming or something. It's $46,000 average. $150,000 in debt, haven't spent any money on your business, and don't have any customers, and you're going to make maybe $80,000 a year. I think health coaching presents a much better prospects for certainly a lot less of an investment, wouldn't you say?
Absolutely. I mean, let's think about this. Most coaches are going to have their clients on a 12-session package, so a three-month package. Not even a 12-session package, it's a three-month package, we'll say. You know, the number of sessions is going to vary. But that's $25,000 per quarter. You're working with a client for a quarter because that's 12 weeks, right? Right. And so $100,000 a year divided by four is $25,000, divided by three is a little over $8,000 a month. You need eight clients to pay you $1,000 a month to make $100,000 a year. You can do that.
Yeah.
You can do it. It's a $3,000 package. That's all it is. So think about this, my friends. Like, it's you work Monday through Thursday, 2 hours a day. That's eight hours. Those are your eight clients that you're working with. They're paying you $1,000 a month and you're good to go. Like, this is really easy. And that's not including any like group programs, that's not including any online courses, any low-end products, any supplement commissions. Like, if you're a health coach, like you said, and you're not making $100,000 a year, your shit is broken. Like, you have to do something about this. Like, you got to be serious about the marketing and the sales side, because, yo, like, if I got back into health coaching, it'd be a multi-million dollar business. Because again, like, there is not only a need for what you do, there is a want for what you do. You know, there are people out there who literally read, like, are worrying 24 or 16 hours a day as long as they're awake. They're worrying, like, are they going to poop on themselves, right? They're worried about their next headache. They're worried about, like, where's the bathroom where I go? Like, these are real problems that people want solutions for. But the problem with our health coaches is our health coaches are like, I help you with everything.
Yeah.
Yo, if I got pooping problems, I don't want to go to the person who wants to help with everything. I need a specialist. I need a master on fucking pooping problems. Pardon my French, right? And there's these very, very basic principles of marketing and sales that health coaches have a tendency to absolutely ignore because they're trying to be so different from conventional medicine. They say, oh, conventional medicine, allopathic medicine does specialization. I hate allopathic medicine because they specialize. Therefore, I'm not going to specialize. Like, no, there's a reason why the neurosurgeon gets paid way more than the general practitioner. If you are a general practitioner health coach, you are not making any money. Period, point blank, because the words you use in your messaging and the words you use on your website don't connect with anybody because they're vague. Because the person who lands on your website who's like, damn, I gotta poop, I keep pooping on myself, or I don't poop at all, they're like, I don't want optimal wellness.
Right.
I want to like somebody to help me with my pooping issue. And so there's no resonance and it doesn't connect and you lose customers and clients over and over and over. Like, Reed, you and I can fix health coaches' businesses in like 3 hours. Do this, do this, don't do this, do this, do this. Now just go out there and do that and you will triple, quadruple your income. But the problem is, I'm on a rant right now, is that health coaches for some reason don't want to do it. And it blows my mind because it's so simple, my friends. It is so simple. Find a niche, speak their language. Stop making your website all about you with a fucking novel of words all over your website. Like, let's condense this. Let's not dumb it down. Let's make it simpler and more clear. And then you're going to have clients. All right. You can tell I'm very passionate about
Sean,
this because
now listen, man, you have that messaging makeover program, which you were just kind of alluding to, that the messaging is really wrong. And it's like the idea of optimal wellness. I've never had a phone call. Hey, do you sell optimal wellness? You know, like, no, it's like, I got migraines, or I've got irritable bowel, or I've got this, that. So you're right on spot on there. But let's say you have a And this is where we have some issues in our alumni group. So I have, you know, our people take our course and then they go into this alumni group where the professionals hang out. So I'm not talking about your hobbyist health coach, which are wonderful people, or even your institutional health coach, you know, who works in an office for a doctor somewhere, helping them follow the program. Those are all valid things. We have a lot of our graduates end up in industry. They're working for supplement companies or lab companies, things like that, because they love talking to the other practitioners. They don't necessarily get real good at being one. But man, there is a ton of people who they've got the desire. They really want to help people. They're willing to walk the talk and they're living a great lifestyle, at least as far as eating right and things. They don't have a lot of money yet, maybe for all the fancy trips or memberships or something like that. But they have a problem, and it's the mentality that they don't like selling, or they just don't think they're worth enough. Like, how am I going to get $5,000 for a package? You know, like, it just scares the crap out of them. They want to do all this work for a person and almost give it away. And that's where I have more of another issue too. But what would you say to that person?
Oh, that's a big one, man. When it comes to sales and marketing and just money mindset kind of stuff, I have these 7 F's for financial abundance. And the first one that needs to be addressed, my friends, is your filters. Like, the way that you see the world, the way you perceive the world. I mean, you think about it, like, what is selling? Selling is communicating the value of a product or a service. And then in exchange for that product or service, you're receiving money. That's really all it is. That's really what it's rather neutral. You know, what is marketing? Marketing is the same thing. It's getting a message out there to the masses so they'll know about you, they'll know about your product and its benefits, and then they'll go ahead and purchase that from you, or at least they'll know about you. And then what is money? Money is just green paper, right? It's neutral. It's green paper. It doesn't talk shit to you. Like, it doesn't say nice words to you either. It's just a piece of paper, right? And so what we have done, or what has happened to us over our lifetime, especially before the age of 7, is we had been conditioned with certain beliefs that were not really our choice. I teach a whole 90-minute module on this, but when we're born and we're trying to learn how to survive in this world, we listen to the words and the beliefs, the ideas and the opinions of the grown-ups. And what they believe becomes our beliefs. And as we grow up into adults, we never re-examine these beliefs to figure out, like, determine, hey, is this true or not? Like, is this BS or is this like the real truth? And there are some serious conflicts that come up, because we may have a coach on this call who's like, I want to make $100,000, Sean and Reed, but I keep stopping myself every time. And that's because you're running a conflict, because you have a belief that is opposing to your goal. Your prefrontal cortex is like, yo, I want this. But your survival brain, and even your amygdala, which is more like the emotional brain, is saying, but wait, you believe that people with money are greedy. You believe that money is evil. You believe that money makes people fight. You believe that money makes parents get divorced. You believe that selling is bad, and selling is manipulation, as is marketing. And so you're essentially saying, I want to make $100,000 and fight with my spouse and be an evil, greedy person and be one of them. And you put yourself in this conflict and the brain will just lock up. And I call it pooping in the pool of your prefrontal cortex, which is responsible for making decisions, for getting into action, for imagining things, or holding that stuff on the screen of your mind, your vision, for making plans as well. So this is what happens. We get going for about 5, 6, 7 days, and then we're like, oh, that negative self-talk starts to come, and we talk ourselves out of it, then we're back at square one. This is because these beliefs have not been examined. I do this class. It's class number 2 of Money Mind Academy. It's called re-examination. So we re-examine these beliefs. And I tell you, we use these 6 questions. And by the end of the hour, my students are like, oh shit, I can't believe I believe that stuff for 30, 40, 50 years. Like, this is insane. But the thing is, like, you started that belief, or you took on that belief before you had a choice in the matter. And the thing is, my friends, is that you got to figure out what those beliefs are. You know, you have to address those beliefs, because when you change the beliefs, your filter changes. Like Wayne Dyer says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So when you change what you believe about money and sales and marketing and yourself, then everything changes. You change, your business change, your ideas about money and sales and marketing, they change, and you no longer feel like something's holding you back. It just becomes your natural part of who you are. Like, I don't have, like, just like you, you don't have a problem selling. You don't have a problem marketing. You have no problem with money, right? I've been to your big ass house. It's an amazing house, right? But we're aligned, right? You and I are aligned in what we want. Now, it wasn't always that way for me. And that's why I teach Money Mind Academy, because these are things that I had to figure out along my journey. Just real quick. I remember back in 2009, Reed, I had 30, 40,000 YouTube subscribers and was just barely getting by. You know, just barely getting by because I was afraid to sell. I was afraid to, like, really put my all into it. When we would get on the call, and, you know, I built up all this knowing, liking, and trusting in my audience for me. Like, they felt like they know, they knew, liked, and trust me. However, when I would get to the part of the phone call, when it came down to the price, you know what I'm saying? I started giving discounts and stuff like that because I felt bad for
charging. Discounted yourself,
I don't feel bad for charging anybody anymore because it's exchange, man. There's this concept in the book, The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace D. Wattles. Phenomenal book. I recommend everybody read it. The Science of Getting Rich. And he talks about cash value versus use value. So, you know, I took your course. This is a perfect example of it. Cash value for your course back in 2008 was like $895, right? It was the first class. Right. And I always tell the story about I took my TV back to Best Buy and got the money and then I gave it to you. Right.
Yeah.
But that's the cash value of your course. The use value of your course was millions of dollars because I took what I learned from you. I expanded on it through all these interviews that I did. And it literally made all these summit sales and ebook sales and all that stuff. Now, think about it. That person who's having to know where the bathroom is everywhere they go, who doesn't go out on the weekends because they're afraid what's going to happen, you know, who's having accidents and such, who's been dealing with this for years, can't have a physical, like, intimate relationship either because of embarrassment. What is the value for them? The value, the use value for them is astronomical. It's astronomical.
Right.
And you're charging them $497 for 12 weeks? Like, no, no. Like, if you charge them $10,000, it would be a deal.
Right.
You're saving this person's life.
Yeah.
Changing this person's life.
Yeah. And I mean, you're hitting on so many good points. And I want to talk or give you a chance to talk more about that Money Mind Academy. That's an 8-week course I mentioned in the bio. But this idea that you're not worth it, you got to lose that. And because you are worth it. And how many people can you help if you're broke? And what kind of a lifestyle can you have? What sets me apart a little bit is partly the lifestyle I live, you know. So I get up in the morning, meditate, walk around the property, you know, and I have some property, and I am able to afford really good food and gym membership. Matter of fact, I have my personal trainer come out to the house now. I don't even have to leave the house to get trained and things like that. That takes resources, you know. Money in the bank and stuff. So if you're going to help people, you got to set an example. If you're going to set an example, you have to be successful. No one wants to follow a health coach that works out of the trunk of their car, right? Even though you and I both have worked out of the trunk of our cars, you know, like you don't stay there, man, right?
Yeah, it's like rappers, man. Some of my favorite rappers, they'll say, I sold tapes out the back of my car back in 1987.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we do. You got to be willing to do it, my friends. Like, you can help so many people, especially when you have money. You know, you can not only just help your family, but you can help. I'm sure there's charitable causes that you give to, Reed. There's ones that I give to. You know, you can hire people, employees, contractors, put food on their table while at the same time changing somebody's health forever. Like, somebody's health, it's everything. Like, you can be the richest person in the world, but if you have no health, you're not the richest person in the world, you know? And so we're giving somebody such an amazing gift. And if you are undervaluing yourself because you don't believe in yourself, or because your self-worth isn't where it should be. Here's just one thing that I'm kind of giving away, one of the assignments in Money Mind Academy, but who cares, right? I love doing this. It's called the accomplishment intro. When we tend to feel like we're not enough, we feel that way, it tends to attract thoughts of us being not enough, of things we didn't accomplish, things that we failed at. And so it just kind of becomes this vicious cycle. But, you know, we've been on this earth, you know, each of us for a pretty good amount of time, at least 20 years, if somebody's watching this, and we forget all of our accomplishments. And so if you and I were at a party, Reed, and you introduced me to a friend and you were like, "Hey, Bob, you know, this is Sean Croxton, da, 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 da." And we just shook hands and he was like, "Hey, really nice to meet you." That's not very memorable. But if you said, "Hey, this is Sean Croxton. He's the founder of Underground Wellness, like one of the best podcasts and YouTube channels and online summits you will ever see in your life. Hey, Sean, you still have some of those up?" I'm like, "Yeah, man." But, you know, he moved over and he does this other thing in personal development. He interviewed people for a while. Now he does this amazing podcast called The Quote of the Day Show. And he's been able to do this and this and the other. Like, that's a real introduction.
Yeah.
That's where somebody says, "Oh, this Sean guy is intriguing. I want to know more about this character." What I have my students do is I'll have them write down 6 to 10 accomplishments. I raised 3 really good kids. I backpacked through Europe. I know 7 different languages. I taught myself how to cook. I won this and this award. And I have them write down in third person an accomplishment intro where, you know, for example, if it was you in my class, you say, "Hey, I want you to meet my friend Reed Davis. He created this online program called Functional Diagnostic Nutrition. He started with 12 students, but now there's thousands of students around the world. He raised an amazing son. His son Jason does this, that, and the other, da, da, da," right? And so it gets you to switch your attention off of all of the things that you don't like, and it switches your attention to all the things that you can do and you have done. And it just really reshapes the way people think about themselves, because they go, "You know what? I'm not too bad, you know? I'm amazing and I can create whatever I want." It's really, really powerful, and I recommend everybody here do that, because you'll be surprised.
Sean, I want to commend you for walking your talk, because I read your most recent email. And it was about the scarcity mindset and Eric Thomas talking about give it away. You know, so you just gave away something from your course, not expecting anything in return. And I really just respect it. I recognize it for walking your talk, giving stuff away. Why? Because that's abundance mentality. And you just walk and talk abundance, man. That's a beautiful thing. I can't wait to listen to that Eric Thomas, too. He looks like quite a character. And if he's talking about giving stuff away, I give stuff away, man. I stop for homeless people. I've emptied my pockets out, and other people say, "Oh, you're not doing them any good. They're just going to buy drugs." I go, "You don't know that. Maybe that's that spark that guy needed to go clean himself up. You know, if you give him enough, you know, like I ain't giving him $20 if I empty my pockets, you know what I mean?" But I'm on every sucker list. I get a text, you know, like, "Hey, donate to, you know, the kids foundation and these different things." Yeah, hit the couple buttons, $50, $100, you know. So you got to have a real abundance mentality. Sean, I wish we had more time. We do have a time for a couple more questions or things about what it means to be a professional in your eyes, you know, because we love our hobbyist health coaches, and they sometimes are the most knowledgeable. Matter of fact, there's a couple I know, they don't do it for a living, but when you want to know something, you can go to them, you know. But that doesn't make them professionals, the amount of knowledge they have. There's other things that separate them. You mentioned a couple, hard work, being willing to go to the mat, being willing to work out of your trunk or something like that, you know. But what else can we it separates the wheat from the chaff in terms of professionalism?
I'll try to keep it short. I know I give some long ass answers.
Oh man, go for it.
So a professional is known for something. You know, a professional, like, people know you are good, not just at this general thing. You're not good at 5 different things. You're not good at 3 different things. Like, you're really good at this one thing. You're amazing at it. You got to figure out what that thing is. You got to commit yourself to it. That's when you're a real professional. Professional actor acts. A professional basketball player plays basketball. You're going to be a professional health coach. You got to be really, really good at whatever niche you decide to be good at. Not good, using the wrong word. You have to be excellent. And you have to put in the work. You got to be obsessive about it every single day. If you want to be Dr. Tom O'Brien, you want to be Reed Davis, you want to be Isabella Wentz, you want to be these people who are known out there, you'll notice that almost all of them are known for one thing, right? Isabella's thyroid. Tom is gluten. Kelly Brogan is depression. Like, everybody's known for one thing. As long as you're trying to be a pro at 18 different things, it's probably not going to work because your mind is scattered. You're never going to become excellent at something. So once you can make that choice, once you make that decision as to who you're going to be as a professional, you become a professional. You start to move in that direction. So, you know, again, little by little becomes a lot. Make a decision first, keep doing it, and the next thing you know, you're killing it. I do want to make a comment real quick, man, on the giving thing. I'm going to go over time. I'm sorry, man. This is the best advice I can give to a health coach is this. And it's so simple. Go out there and help people. Just go out there and help people. I want you as a health coach to go back. Just rewind the tape to the day before you started learning about health, because that's where most people are. They know nothing. They know nothing. And you have created the standard in your mind that I need to know everything before I can go help someone. Wow. You were ready a long time ago. A long time ago. So this, I'm gonna get started on Monday. I'm gonna do it next month. I'm gonna do it after this course. I'm gonna do it after I read this book. No. You've taken enough courses. You've read enough books. You've done enough of whatever. You could have helped that person 2 years ago, but you've chosen not to. So what it's time to do is to turn on your computer and turn on the video and start making videos or start making content that really helps people, because that person needs you. And all of the information that they need is stuck in your head. And one of the best ways to get started is, you know what, Reed, is just to get started, to say, I hear the fears, I hear the negative self-talk, fuck it, I'm just going to do it anyway. And you just go do it. And that gnawing feeling, if you're a health coach and you don't have a successful practice right now, you don't have that gnawing feeling that says, man, I really want something, but I'm just not doing it. It just doesn't make me feel good inside. First of all, if you don't have that, you're not serious about this. You might go do something else, right? But most of you guys have that. I don't have that. Reed Davis doesn't have that. Why don't we have it? We don't have it because we're doing stuff. We're helping people. And the only way you're going to be able to make that feeling go away is to go out there and help people. That's it. Your business is going to be fueled by helping people. And I know what you're going to say, but what if I give away too much stuff? Then they're not going to want to buy my services. No, because they're going to forget it anyway.
Yeah.
Because 80% of what you hear, you forget anyway. You got to hear it over and over and over and over again. And so just go out there and give away your best stuff. You'll become known for something, and then you'll have a successful practice.
Man, thank you for those words. And again, we're going to have to get you back on a number of programs. I want to talk more next time about the book club and the messaging makeover and all these things. We'll put a lot of information in the show notes, Sean, so that people can get a hold of you. And man, thanks for being my friend, and watching you grow over the years, and flying high the way you are is just a proud moment, man. Thank you, Sean.
Thank you, Reed.